Well, a wildfire near Strawberry Reservoir has burned more than 6,600 acres in just 12 hours. The Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands said that the Dollar Ridge fire spread quickly due to the steep terrain and high winds. The fire just 4.5 miles southeast of Strawberry Reservoir. The division says they believe the fire was human-caused and are investigating the incident. As of late Sunday night, crews had no containment of the fire. Some 10 structures are being threatened. As many as are seven of those are cabins, homes along Strawberry River and Camelot Resort on a pre-evacuation notice. Well, it's that time of year with, especially with this summer's dry, hot weather, kind of a scary time out there for firefighters. In the studio with me, with a word of caution or two, I have Park City Fire Chief Paul Hewitt. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Great, thank you. Okay. So I guess your staff knows that July is all hands on deck, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. I don't go very far this time of the year.
Yeah, you or
anybody,
your staff, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how this summer is different than from our previous summers.
Well, we've had better and we've had worse. You can tell the fire danger. I mean, a lot of things go into the Utah State Forester determining whether or not you should ban fireworks and what the fire danger is for any given year. But we're fortunate. We have had some very dry, hot weather over the last few weeks. But we're fortunate here that our fuel moisture is still okay. It's not good. It's not terrible. But there are, we have in other counties in the state, we have several big wildfires burning. So it's a reminder to us, and we've had years in the past where a lot of the state has suffered and we've gone unscathed. And we're hopeful that we'll have another one of those years.
Yeah, so National Weather Service issues what are called red flag warnings. What does that mean to the fire department?
It means the conditions are ripe for wildfire. That's the National Weather Service issues those, and they've issued a red flag warning, and that means take severe precautions, not just with fireworks, right? Because we talk a lot about fireworks in this state, but the consumer-grade fireworks that are legal here are pretty limited. You're looking at sparklers and snakes, you know, anything that's aerial, that's illegal regardless of the time of the year. But even with sparklers, any ignition source during red flag warnings, whether it's a barbecue grill or you're out welding or cutting, we've had fires started that way. A lot of fires, probably, if you look at the incidents, I was reviewing some of the incidents last week that are published by the state fire marshal. And ignition sources are plenty. It's not just fireworks.
So we've got a fireworks ban here in the Park City limits, but not throughout the rest of the fire district?
Yeah, that's true. So it's an interesting field here. The Park City Fire District incorporates 110 square miles of the 1,800 square mile Summit County. And that's 80% of the population that lives in our fire district that lives in that 1,800 square miles. But in that 110 square mile district, you have the rural area of the Snyderville Basin that is under the state forester. That's Brian Cottom. So Brian Cottom decides whether or not to ban the fireworks in the Snyderville Basin. So out in Jeremy Ranch, Pine Brook, those areas out there. And here in the municipalities in Park City, they have the fire marshaling powers. So the city council has it falls on them to decide whether or not to ban fireworks. And they have banned fireworks.
And again, the state forester looks at like the fuel moisture data that you were talking about.
He does. He, out of all people, he has a very good pulse on what's going on out there. So he has a worker that comes out here and actually measures the fuel moisture, the moisture within the plants and the vegetation.
So for those people who will be shooting off fireworks, give us some words of wisdom here.
So I'll give it to you as a fire chief and also somebody that loved fireworks. I loved fireworks. I used to make the run out to Wendover and have a local show a neighborhood show. Americans love their fireworks. But the first thing I would say is that in my 30-year career as a firefighter, I've seen far more injuries from fireworks than fires. They're both a threat, but the first thing I would say to anybody, a sparkler that is a legal firework here in the state of Utah, if they're allowed, thrown, you know, it's a piece of wire with flame on it. So be very careful. Injuries first. Secondly, if you are in one of the rural areas of the county and you're enjoying some of those legal fireworks, have a way to extinguish your fire, a bucket of water or a hose or you know, to throw your spent fireworks into. And just always have an adult present. Don't leave kids unattended. Kids just don't have the experiences that we have. So always be present as an adult. Don't leave a box of fireworks, even sparklers, with children and walk away from them.
So has the district been out on any fireworks calls?
No.
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 And you don't do the enforcement, huh? You leave that up to the sheriff and the, or the police department?
We can do both. We do a little bit of both. We obviously don't have the policing powers that the police department and the sheriff's office do, but we just kindly try to remind people to be very safe. We live in a mountainous terrain, and when you combine that with all of the fuels that we have on these steep terrains, it sets up some danger. Our staff is ready. We have 7 staffed fire stations. We have very, very capable personnel. They can pull hoses straight up a mountain. We don't want to have to go there. I never want to have to go there, but we are prepared and ready to suppress Mother Nature.
And that's the typical summer, then, that you would see more medical calls than fire calls, huh?
It is. Yeah, well, nationwide, the fire service is really over 80% medical now. So we have a combined all response. We respond to name it, you know, hazmat, above and below grade rescue, medical emergencies, fires, on and on. So that's the most efficient fire service model. And well over 80% of what we do is medical.
Oh. So with thousands of people in town for the 4th, I mean, how do you staff? You just have full-time crews, really, through the week?
Yeah. Yeah, we try to keep our staffing numbers up. We run between 22 and 27 firefighters on duty all the time. And everybody knows that this time of the year, like you say, it's all hands on deck. We need everybody here. Even the guys that are off duty are prepared to come in if they have to. Yeah. So we'll call back if we need to.
And have any of your crew been out fighting other fires?
No, not yet. We were close to being deployed, and that's a good point. We do have a wildfire fighting team that is paid by the feds, and they can be deployed, and they have been deployed in previous years. They were on standby and very close to being deployed, but didn't go out so far.
Yeah, and what do you know about the fire that we were just reporting on there near Strawberry Reservoir?
I know it's burned thousands of acres, and it's moving towards Duchesne right now. But in the Uintas, you end up with all this deadfall. So you have all of these timbers. They're even in a far more precarious position than we are. You know, looking out your window, you see a lot of green. And you get up into the Uintas and you can see, even after a rainstorm, you see a lot of dead. And it's just, you know, there and ready to burn. Wildfire, though, is part of the cycle of nature. And the Forest Service is very adept at looking at the paths that these wildfires take and knowing whether or not they need to throw all of their efforts at aerial firefighting or just to let it burn and let Mother Nature do its thing. Here in Park City, we don't have that luxury. If there's a wildfire here, we suppress it.
Just because when the homes and
correct.
Structures...
Correct, yeah. And that's another word of caution. We have a chipping program. The chipping is that they pull their deadfall and create some defensible space. You can go to our website. It's pcfd.org. Get some hints and tips on how to make your house more safe regarding wildfires and pull it out to the street. Call us. We'll come out and chip it for you and make our entire area a little bit more safe.
Okay. So meanwhile, what's up with the fire district? Got any new construction going on or anything like that?
No new construction. Mm-hmm. We've got new recruits. We had a class of 8 graduate, so they're excited to get going. We are ordering, eventually here soon, we'll be ordering a new ladder truck to help us with firefighting. It's probably going to be a 100-foot aerial stick, it looks like. That the process of speccing an apparatus that costs upwards of $1 million is a big process. You want to make sure you do it right. New recruits, and an apparatus is considered just like a fire station, a capital expenditure. They're expensive. No new fire stations in the future for the near future. We look at land and we try to, you know, have a 10-year planning plan in effect. So, yeah, it's a busy time, though. Yeah. Busy time at the fire district. Believe it or not, firefighters are busy. We're involved in the community and we're inspecting and training, do a lot of training.
So what do you guys draw straws then to be in the parade?
It's the draw of the straws. So we have 3 shifts. It's A, B, and C shift, and it's just whoever falls. It just keeps rotating. Whoever falls on duty. I am in the parade every year, and it's a privilege. I was at the station, Bittner Road Fire Station, 2 days ago, and they were buffing out our Ranger, which is what I drive. I'll probably take my 13-year-old daughter on that with me, and we'll be right behind the sheriff in the parade. We look forward to it every year.
Okay. Well, we'll look for you. Anything else?
just be safe. Be safe. Drink a lot of water. It gets hot, and this arid, mountainous type heat is different. You know, I got reminded of that. Did a little run. Did a run with my firefighters, a mountain run, and we drank. It was a 17-mile mountain run, and it takes it out of you. You get reminded what it is. It's like, it's not like the humid areas. You sweat, you evaporate, and you lose a lot more body fluid. So again, 80% of what we do is medical. Take care of yourself. Drink a lot of water. Take Gatorade, and be safe.
Okay, Paul. Thanks.
Thanks, Leslie.
It's Park City Fire Chief Paul Hewitt. KPCW News Time now, 8:22. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Well, Summit County Health Department Public Information Officer Derek Sitaway spends time off the job as a volunteer member of SAR, known as Search and Rescue. Recently, Summit County participated in a high Uinta emergency exercise, of which Sitaway participated as a representative of the health department. He joins me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So the training was put on by whom?
The training was conducted by Region 5 Emergency Management, which includes Daggett, Uinta, and Duchesne counties, and then also the Ute Tribe is part of that. And then there were some additional agencies there. So Summit County, I was there representing the health department. Summit County Search and Rescue was involved, Wasatch County, National Guard, and the Forest Service.
Okay, how many actual personnel out there?
We had, and this is just a rough estimate, there were well over 100 people. So this was a large-scale exercise.
Okay, and what was it focused on?
So the focus of the exercise, it took place at the top of Wolf Creek Pass on Highway 35 in the Uintas. The focus of the exercise was to test communication capabilities between agencies. So out in the basin, they use VHF for their radio system, and we use 800 megahertz. So the trick is patching those two together so that you can communicate across the different types of radios. So that was the main focus, to see how Wasatch and Summit would be able to communicate with Duchesne, Daggett, and Uinta counties. The actual training itself was a hazmat situation involving a vehicle, in air quotes, that went off the side of an embankment and had hazardous material in it, and also involved a search and rescue component that was a high angle where the search and rescue members had to descend down a hill, package a patient, and then come back up the hill.
Okay. So how did the communications work?
I think things went really well. It was a great opportunity for us to work closely with counties that we would normally be involved with regarding incidents in the Uintas, especially Wasatch and Duchesne. You look at the Dollar Ridge fire that's going on right now, that's between Wasatch and Duchesne. So a great example of a situation where multiple counties are involved and need to communicate with one another and know how one another's procedures works. And also, it was really great just the opportunity to put faces with names and to be able to work with people in a training exercise where things are controlled before things get a little crazy in an actual emergency.
Sure. So why isn't everybody on the same kind of equipment?
It just kind of, I believe, and I'm not a radio expert, but I believe the state is going all over to the 800 system. This is just kind of what's going on now with the agency. So we want to make sure that while things are the way they are, that we can communicate and we're ready given any emergency situation that may arise.
Okay, so this wasn't just a one day. I mean, it was, you guys were out there 4 days, I think?
It was conducted. They did setup on Tuesday, and then they pulled things down on Friday. The majority of the exercises took place on Wednesday and Thursday. We were up there mostly on Wednesday. Thursday, I know that Duchesne brought in some of their volunteer firefighters and other volunteer organizations in the evening, so they had the opportunity after work to take part in the training as well.
Okay. So did they stay overnight, or they just drove up for the day?
Some people stayed overnight. Mm-hmm. Some people went up for the day. All of our members from Search and Rescue or myself from the health department, we just drove up.
Sure. So how many Search and Rescue volunteers does Summit County have?
Summit County has on the roster, I believe, 50 or so members.
And again, it's all volunteer?
All volunteer, yes.
So when the call is made, it's whoever can do it?
So the call goes out as a text page, and whoever's in the area, we hope will be able to respond and help out.
Okay. And how many incidents do we have that involve SAR volunteers every year?
Last year we averaged, I believe, about one a week, so over 50 calls.
Wow.
And those could be anything from medical assists to lost persons, and different things like that, too. Evacuations for fires, which we did at Monviso this year.
Yeah, and I remember the county building some kind of facility, storehouse, I guess, really warehouse for equipment, but a lot of it's just brought by the equipment brought by the volunteers themselves, huh?
So the majority of our equipment comes through the sheriff's office. They kind of function as the entity that gets the equipment through the search and rescue fund and other funds and grants and volunteer time and donations that come in. We have locations in Camas. There's the Camas Search and Rescue Building, which is right behind the new South Summit County Services Building. And then we also have a shed in Colville as well that stores equipment. So we're kind of on either end of the county if a call comes up.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that something that is done every year, some kind of training? Just to keep people in practice, or?
So this Region 5 training was kind of a special exercise with multiple agencies. Search and Rescue in Summit County does training once a month, and then we also have our specialized groups like the High Angle and the Swiftwater team will do additional trainings to that.
Okay. And the incidents tend to be more during the summer than winter?
It's about sixes, actually. We stay pretty busy in the wintertime with snowmobilers especially. Sometimes skiers in the summertime, camping, hiking, and then medical assists make up a large portion of our calls in winter and summer.
Yeah. So based on how the training went, I mean, any changes that you would institute in the health department?
I don't think any changes, but again, it was just a good opportunity to be able to use the equipment we have to be able to communicate with Duchesne, Uinta, and Daggett counties. And once again, just building that relationship with those individuals in emergency response outside of our county. So when we have a situation like what's going on in Wasatch and Duchesne County right now with the fires, that we can effectively work with those people.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Just to wrap things up, we want to encourage people to sign up for the Summit County Emergency Alert System. That's summitcountyalerts.org. You can get more information there. And just keep an eye out on everything that may arise over the summer.
Okay. Derek, thanks.
Thank you.
It's Derek. It's 8:42. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Well, one of Park City's busiest holidays coming up when tens of thousands of people will show up for the 4th of July celebration. New this year is the Big Stars Bright Nights concert series popping up at the Quinn's Recreation Complex. In the studio with details about that first show, I have Park City Institute Director Terry Orr along with Park City Special Events Manager Jenny Dearson to tell us how the special events team is preparing for all of this. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Leslie.
And Terry, let's start with you. All set then to open the summer series with Los Lonely's Boys tomorrow.
Well, we will be by tomorrow. You know, this is a big undertaking, and doing a pop-up concert venue is not something that we've ever done before, but we have had tremendous support from the community. We have all kinds of food trucks that will be there. We have porta-potties that are lovely called Simply Privies. We have some Only in Park City surprises for tomorrow night. We are really looking forward to the new venue and kicking off our summer series.
All right. So is the show sold out? Because I think you're limiting to...
We're limited to 2,500, mm-hmm. but we still have room. So, yes, there are still tickets available. Please, please, please. You can get those today at the Genius Store or by just going online at the Genius Store in Sweet Alley. And you can tomorrow buy them at the Eccles Center. We're moving the box office just day of show over to the Eccles Center for convenience, since that's where one of the two places you can pick up a bus ride over to the center, over to the venue. And then once you get to Quinn's, there'll be... if you haven't been able to purchase tickets and you're arriving after 4 o'clock, there'll be tickets available for sale there as well.
Okay. Best, though, is to buy early and pick them up in town. Otherwise, you do a little bit more walking once you get to the venue.
You know, it's just plain easier. Just get the tickets today or tomorrow at the Eccles Center.
Yeah, so you have a staff of like, what, 8, 10 people?
we have 8 full-time people, yes, and that includes the tech director and the sound guy. We're a pretty small staff.
Yeah, so you're relying on volunteers to make this all happen for you?
Volunteers and friends in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, the women of Silly Market, for example, have been extraordinary in saying, we can help you with the picnic tables, we can help you with the barriers, we know how to organize food trucks. They've just really jumped in, and I can't thank them enough.
Awesome. And then in terms of, you had hoped to get different businesses that their staffs would come help you. Do you have somebody for
And that's tomorrow? Growing, yes. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a designated group for tomorrow night, though we do have, I should correct that, we don't have a business for tomorrow mm-hmm. night. We do have the Friends of Holy Cross Ministries, so they will be there being volunteers tomorrow night. We have for the 23rd, we have the staff of Park City Mountain. So they're coming as a group. And if Phyllis was here, Phyllis Robinson, who's stepping in to help with volunteers again this summer, she could tell you the other groups that have signed up.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about how it works if you're not a sponsor, because you will have access to the limited parking if you've paid, you know, the sponsorship fees. But if anybody just has a ticket and needs to get there, how?
They jump on the bus. Mm-hmm. So you jump on the bus two places. One is the Eccles Center, where there's ample parking, so no need to worry about that. And the other is Richardson Flats, which also has ample parking.
So I guess if you were coming from the basin, that would be the place to go, Richardson Flat. And if you were
or
in
Salt
town,
Lake or mm-hmm. Camas, you know, yeah. So many places. That Richardson Flat is really a great place to, and it's much closer to get
right,
there.
Right. So you'll have buses at both locations.
Correct.
Then?
Yes.
And there are
and
those
Lay Bus, those fabulous buses that mm-hmm. we saw during the Sundance Film Festival. And they seat about 55 people. And yes, there's room underneath for your cooler or your chairs. We'll be measuring, Leslie, as you know how much fun that is, we'll be measuring the chairs at the parking lots. So if your chair is over 9 inches and you can get a basketball underneath it, it's too tall. So you need those really short-legged chairs.
Okay. And again, all of that can just go in and then get pulled out once you get
there.
And you're hoping that turnaround time is what in terms of them making laps?
Well, we have multiple buses that are helping us. And the turnaround time, you know, it just depends on traffic. It's about 6 minutes to get there from the Eccles Center to Quinn's. We've done that repeatedly as a staff, but that's when it's ideal. So it will be whatever it will be, but we have multiple buses that will be moving people back and forth.
Okay. Is it maybe just easier just to grab your chair or blanket and then just eat there?
Oh, I would think so. You know, we've got great food vendors. We have River Horse Provisions this year. We've never been able to have food vendors before, so this is great fun for us. River Horse Provisions, Freshies Lobster, Spencer's Barbecue, Wasatch Creamery, Praise Cheeses. So a whole lot of great folks providing food.
Okay. Any restrictions then on people bringing their own bottles?
Their own beverages? Mm-hmm. No restrictions on that. It's just like it is in lots of other places. We aren't able to sell you adult beverages. So if that's the beverage you want to bring, you ought to bring it.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want people?
Bikes, yeah. Feel free to bike there. We'll have a bike valet set up so you can check your bike and then watch the concert and then take your bike back on home. The concerts start at 6, so little confusion because the times have changed. Gates open at 4:30, and
buses start running when?
3:30.
Okay.
So those folks who have those early entrance passes as well, no need to worry about that. If you get on the bus at 3:30, you'll be there in time to get in before the crush of everyone else.
Okay. Anything else that you want to add? You can stick around in case Jenny says something. Jenny, in terms of the city, I mean, are you guys feeling pretty good about?
You know, we are feeling good about this one and excited to see the start of the concert series this year. Park City Institute has done an incredible amount of work getting ready for this. And as Terry said, the amount of community members, whether they're volunteers or local businesses, so on and so forth, that have come together to really help put this together is extraordinary. And so thanks to Terry and her team for all the work that they have been doing. I do, if you are, whether you're planning on attending the event or you're, as we all know, that we have a very busy week ahead of us, whether you're going somewhere around in the Quinn's Junction area, we need everyone's help with this one. So please, when Terry says park at either Richardson Flats or the Eccles Lot and take the bus, that is the best thing that you can possibly do to help out Terry and the organization. And of course, buying tickets to the concert series as well. But in all seriousness, that is the way to get there. It is the most efficient way. And I think, too, you know, we try to have buses run about 15-minute headways back and forth. But it will depend on how traffic and transportation goes tomorrow night. We do anticipate as early as noon tomorrow that transportation will really kick up in town. And so be prepared and just plan ahead. It is a great thing to go out there early, have a nice picnic, and enjoy yourself out on the Quinns Junction fields and meet community members, and we'll see you out there.
Okay. ADA parking is also available out there in addition
yes,
to the sponsors.
It is.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So they don't need to jump on a bus.
No.
Okay. Let's kick off, because that's just the start of the busy week. So following that, we've got, of course, the lots happening at the Canyons base and also on the 3rd.
Yes, and so we have quite a bit going on this week. I did want to remind folks just really quick, tonight is the last night of the Noches de Verano Latino Music Festival. That's at City Park on Monday nights, South City Park, and so that'll be tonight, starts at 7 o'clock. As we just talked about, Terry Orr's Big Stars Bright Nights tomorrow at Quinns. And then we also have Canyons July 3rd celebration tomorrow night at Canyons. I believe that starts at 7 o'clock. If you are attending that event out at Canyons, I highly encourage you to carpool to that event and take transit as well. And again, like I just said, I think we anticipate around noon tomorrow things really kicking up with everyone trying to get where they need to go. And then, of course, we have my personal favorite, the 4th of July celebration, with all sorts of activities starting at 7 o'clock in the morning on July 4th all the way through 10 o'clock p.m. Lots going on there with the historic Park City Ski Team 5K Fun Run. That starts at Park City Base at about 8 o'clock in the morning. We have local Boy Scouts doing the pancake breakfast at South City Park. Those are both very traditional fun events to kick off the 4th of July celebration. And then just a reminder that the parade does start at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's at the top of Main Street. It goes all the way down to the bottom of Main Street, cuts over on 9th Street, and then all the way past City Park. We do anticipate that the parade ends around 12:30 or 1 o'clock. And then from about noon until, of course, the fireworks, we have all sorts of fun at City Park and then also at Park City Resort Base.
Okay. Tom Kelly is Grand Marshal, huh?
Yeah, so this year our parade theme, so every year the parade has a theme, and the theme this year is Winning Spirit. It does pay respect to the city's past and potential future Olympic and Paralympic legacy. Tom Kelly, as we all know, recently retired as the Vice President of Communications from Park City-based U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association after 32 years there. And he has done so much work both for U.S. Ski and Snowboard and Olympic legacy, but also in our community as a whole. So we're really honoring him with this year's parade.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about how 4th of July then impacts the Main Street area, because things start to close down early.
Yeah, so actually starting tomorrow, we're going to be removing parking at City Park. We've done a lot of outreach to local residents last week, just reminding them of those operations. So we really start setting up for City Park tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, as early as 6 o'clock in the morning, just remember we do remove all parking from Main Street, Sweet Alley, Heber Avenue, and Park Avenue from 9th to 15th Street. That's to make way for everyone coming in and setting up for the parade. And then just as a reminder, roads are expected to close to traffic around 8 o'clock in the morning. To help offset some of those impacts, we do have a bus lane on Deer Valley Drive on 4th of July morning. That's expected to be up as early as 7 o'clock, and that will help expedite transit. Also, all of our resort partners as well as the high school have come on to offer free parking throughout the day. So that's, again, Park City High School, Park City Mountain Base, Canyons, and Deer Valley all offering free parking with free transit to Main Street and the greater Park City area. And then China Bridge, as a reminder, just like last year, will be $20 starting at 8 o'clock until about 1 o'clock. As soon as the parade is over, we go back to normal operations. We also have two bike valets at 9th Street and at the Mawinney lot. So if you are planning on riding your bike to the event, you can park your bike in those locations. And then just a reminder, of course, we have the Electric Express and Camas Commuter running as well. for those items.
Okay. And, you know, we talked last year, I recall those riding their bikes. Poison Creek Trail is basically off limits just due to all of the pedestrians and strollers and things. It's real hard to ride a bike, end up walking anyway. Is there, as we see with a bus lane, I mean, is there any way that bikes can have their own lane too somewhere?
You know, Leslie, I can follow up on that one. It's you know, it is challenging, and I would encourage, whether you're driving or riding a bike, just be careful and plan a little extra time and know where you're going and how you're going to get there. But we can do some follow up on that one and see if there's anything we can do to help better direct people. But do slow down and watch for both pedestrians as well as bikers as you are getting around. Is a lot of people do ride their bike and walk to the event, which we appreciate.
Okay. And those folks that have one of those blue square passes, it won't work for the 4th?
So we just ask if they can to please park in either North Marsac or Gateway Lot if you're a business on Main Street and have one of those passes. You are welcome to park in China Bridge. However, we ask that you park in those designated areas because we know China Bridge is going to fill. So if you can help us out a little bit there, we would greatly appreciate that. Also wanted to mention for Main Street businesses that Homestake will continue to operate as normal. If you do have employees that need to park at Homestake before 11 o'clock, they can take the existing lines on either Kearns, Bonanza, or Park Avenue. Also, just as last year, we do have increased residential mitigations. We will have a security company out there helping to help cut down on traffic going through the Old Town residential neighborhoods. Also wanted to mention, please do register for our text alert system if you have not. You can do that by simply texting PC Events to 888-777. That'll help get you the most important and up-to-date traffic, transportation, and emergency information. Again, I mentioned there that in Park City, we do have a fire ban enacted. So in city limits, please do not use personal fireworks and no open fires at this point. I believe that we also have a red flag warning right now. So it's really important to help keep the Park City community safe. The permitted professional fireworks shows are currently planned. That's, again, at Canyons on July 3rd and July 4th at Park City Mountain Resort Base. And I do think there's also fireworks shows scheduled at the rodeo each night starting July 4th through 7th. So if you're headed up there. So, again, please help us out with the fire ban.
Okay. And so, Terry, you're going to do tomorrow's concert and then switch things up for your second concert, moving to City Park.
We wanted to see how complicated we could make our summer and how confusing. No, there were events planned at Quinn's, so we needed to move over to City Park, and the city is helping us make that happen. And that's Grace Potter, and that's going to be a great show. And then when that finishes, we go back to Quinn's for the rest of the summer. So,
so still working on parking plans, but we'll talk to you about that.
You'd
still have the Eccles and Richardson
same,
Flat.
You know, there'll be a lot of the same elements for that, with no parking and no parking and no parking. And I just wanted to give out our phone number one more time. It's 655-3114. So I know there are questions. I know there's curiosities about how things happen, and people didn't maybe pick up all the pieces on the interview this morning. So please feel free to call that number, and live humans will answer you during work hours.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add, Jenny?
You know, I don't think so. Actually, I do. Just if you do need more information about what is going on 4th of July in particular, you just go on the city's website at parkcity.org. We have an impact map there with transportation and parking details for July 4th. That's available in both English and Spanish, and then also a list of all the activities which started yesterday all the way through July 7th. So if you're wanting to know what's going on in town.
Okay. Jenny Dearson, Terry Orr, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Leslie.
KPCW News Time now, 8:58. It's the local news hour on KPCW.